By 2035, the space economy is projected to be worth $1.8 trillion. That's not science fiction. That's a forecast from the World Economic Forum. The question for business leaders this week isn't if this is happening, but how they can claim their share of a market that's tripling in size in just over a decade. Are your supply chains ready for orbit? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology that's reshaping industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, it's all about the commercialization of space. We're moving past exploration and into industrialization. The orbital economy is here, and it's creating unprecedented demand for manufacturing, logistics, and technology. We'll be looking at the policy shifts demanding this change, the companies building the new orbital factories, and the critical components making it all possible. Troy, let's start with that big number. What's driving this explosion in the space economy?
Susie, the World Economic Forum report from June 10th identifies three core commercial trends. First, value is now being created through iterative space services, things like satellite connectivity and Earth observation intelligence. It's a recurring revenue model. Second, national sovereignty is driving huge, long-term government spending on independent space capabilities. And third, commercial firms are simply outpacing government agencies in innovation, driven by lower costs and software-driven development.
So this is a shift from one-off government-funded moonshots to a genuine diversified industrial market. What does that mean for companies on the ground?
It means the barriers to entry are collapsing. The WEF sees this as a transition from an experimental phase to a mature market. For U.S. and European manufacturers, this isn't about building a handful of exquisite custom satellites anymore. The demand is shifting towards high-volume standardized components for large constellations.
And for trading companies, how do they navigate this?
They need to understand the new procurement models. Governments are no longer the sole customer. Trading firms should be identifying the key commercial players, the ones building the constellations, and establishing supply chain partnerships. Market timing is critical. The demand for components and ground systems is surging now, not in 5 years.
What's the immediate action item for an executive listening today?
They need to reevaluate their customer base. If your primary client has always been a national space agency, you must now develop a strategy to engage with the new commercial prime contractors. This is a fundamental market realignment.
And it seems Washington is throwing its weight behind this shift. We saw multiple policy moves this month pushing the military to buy commercial.
That's right. The U.S. House passed amendments to the Fiscal Year 2027 National Defense Authorization Act that formally mandate the Space Force to accelerate procurement of commercial tech. This isn't a suggestion, it's a directive.
What specific technologies are they targeting?
The legislation explicitly names space domain awareness, space sensing, satellite communications, and autonomous satellite operations. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce echoed this in a June 11th letter to Congress, strongly backing direct access for combatant commands, or COCOMs, to commercial services for surveillance, reconnaissance, and tracking.
So the Pentagon is being told to go shopping in the private sector. How does this directly affect manufacturers in, say, Germany or Texas?
For European and U.S. manufacturers, this is a massive opportunity. It signals a shift from slow, bespoke military contracts to faster, more dynamic commercial sales cycles that serve a military end user. You could be selling sensor packages or communication modules off a commercial production line directly into the defense supply chain.
And for trading and distribution companies?
This creates a new role for them as aggregators. A distributor can bundle services from multiple smaller tech firms, a satellite imagery provider, a data analytics company, and offer a complete solution to a COCOM. They need to understand the new, faster procurement pathways the DoD is being forced to create.
What should an executive do right now?
They must get their government relations team to analyze the final language of the FY 2027 NDDAA, identify the specific budget lines and program requirements for commercial service procurement. This is the roadmap to future revenue. It's about aligning your product development with legislated demand.
This demand for commercial services requires a new kind of factory. We saw a major funding announcement from Apex that speaks to this.
Yes. On June 5th, Apex announced over $200 million in new funding, pushing its valuation to $2.3 billion. The explicit purpose is to scale high-rate satellite production for what are called proliferated constellations.
Break that down for us. Proliferated constellations and high-rate production sound like jargon, but what's the business model?
A proliferated constellation is a network of hundreds or thousands of smaller standardized satellites, as opposed to a few large unique ones. To build them, you can't use the old custom manufacturing model. APEX is building standardized satellite bus platforms ahead of time, allowing customers to get a customized satellite delivered quickly. They're activating an additional 30,000 square feet of manufacturing space to do this.
So they're the Dell of satellites. Standard chassis, customized components. What does this mean for a U.S. or European manufacturer?
It means your business needs to operate at the speed of software, not at the speed of traditional aerospace. Can you supply components for dozens of satellites a month, not one per year? This is a threat to manufacturers who can't adapt to high-cadence, lower-margin production, but a huge opportunity for those who can automate and scale.
How are companies getting these constellations to orbit? Launch costs must be a factor.
Absolutely. That's why we're seeing a global push for lower-cost reusable rockets. On June 12th, Japan's JAXA successfully launched its H330 rocket, a low-cost variant designed to compete with SpaceX. And in Europe, the exploration company just announced it's developing IRINE, a reusable heavy-lift rocket, to reduce European dependence on foreign launch providers.
So for trading companies, the game is changing. It's not just about sourcing parts. It's about a much faster logistics chain.
Exactly. Distributors need to think about just-in-time delivery for satellite production lines. Can you manage a global supply chain that feeds a factory building a new satellite every week? The companies that solve the logistics of high-rate space manufacturing will be invaluable.
So the actionable insight?
Manufacturers need to perform a candid assessment of their production lines. Invest in automation and digital twinning to prepare for high-volume orders. Trading companies should be building relationships now with these new space manufacturers like APEX and Stokespace, positioning themselves as indispensable logistics partners.
All these new satellites and missions need power and protection in the harsh environment of space. We're seeing a wave of innovation in the core components.
We are. This is the foundational technology layer. On June 4th, Dallas-based Solidian Technology unveiled its graphene-enabled Extreme Climate Battery, or GEN-ECB. It's designed to operate reliably from minus 80 to plus 60 degrees Celsius.
Why is a battery so significant?
Because standard lithium-ion batteries can't handle the thermal cycling and radiation of space. Solidian is using graphene for its high thermal conductivity and radiation resistance. This is critical for everything from orbital AI data centers to lunar bases.
And we're also seeing new ways to protect the electronics.
Correct. On the same day, GlobalFoundries and BAE Systems announced a collaboration on radiation-hardened by design, or RHBD, semiconductor solutions. These are chips specifically designed at the architectural level to withstand the constant radiation of deep space, which is essential for missions like Artemis II.
So for a European electronics manufacturer, what's the takeaway?
The demand for space-grade, radiation-hardened, and thermally resilient components is about to explode. This is a high-margin, specialized market. If you have capabilities in advanced materials, semiconductors, or power systems, you should be engaging with NASA, ESA, and the new commercial players. The specifications for the Artemis program and commercial lunar missions are being written now.
And for a distributor of electronic components?
They need to get ahead of this. Secure distribution rights for technologies like Solidian's batteries or GF's RHBD chips. The builders of the new satellite mega constellations will need a reliable supply of these critical high-performance components. Becoming the go-to supplier for space-grade electronics is a massive opportunity.
What is the single most important action for executives in this subsector?
Invest in R&D or partnerships focused on extreme environment hardware. The terrestrial market for ruggedized electronics is mature, but the space market is entering a new growth phase. Proving your technology's reliability for space applications opens a door to the entire $1.8 trillion ecosystem.
Let's summarize the key intelligence from this week, Troy. This was a deep dive into the industrialization of space. What are the three most important takeaways for our listeners?
First, the space economy is no longer a niche, government-dominated sector. With a projected value of $1.8 trillion by 2035, it is a mainstream industrial and technology market. Every manufacturing and trading company needs a space strategy.
Second,
public policy is now a market accelerator, not a barrier. The U.S. government is mandating its agencies, particularly the Department of Defense, to procure services from the commercial sector. This is creating guaranteed demand and lowering the risk for new entrants.
And the final key takeaway?
Third, the supply chain is being rebuilt around speed and scale. The shift to high-rate production of satellite constellations, pioneered by companies like Apex, and the push for reusable, low-cost launch from players like JAXA and the Exploration Company, demands a fundamental rethink of manufacturing and logistics. Legacy processes will not be competitive.
So the action is clear. Reevaluate your market, understand the new policy-driven demand, and adapt your operations for a high-velocity supply chain. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The transition to a commercial space economy is happening faster than many realize, and the opportunities for prepared U.S. and European firms are immense. We'll keep you ahead of the curve.
Thank you for joining us.
Follow Troy Technical Intelligence on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss a briefing. Until next week, stay informed.